This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much again for joining us today. I'm glad you are here. It is summertime. It is in the mid-90s here in Portland, and I am enjoying it. Love this kind of weather, and I hope you are staying cool where you are at. If it is hot, and I know this time of year it's hot in most places in the Northern Hemisphere, but today we're going to just have a brief talk. Well, not so brief, maybe, but a talk on something that may seem kind of interesting and different to you. And I have to actually laugh at myself as I talk on the subject of today's podcast. In a world of influencers, motivational speakers, and all the other things that gains popularity, I am here to speak on the goodness and the eternal value of suffering. Up front, I will tell you that I won't be speaking on the suffering of those that we serve as we live out social justice. Rather, I will be speaking on our own suffering and how we need to embrace it. So here we go. But first, I want to remind you that you can find me also on Instagram and on X under Unfolding Love with the tagline at Cruciform Love. And there I speak on experiencing the love of God and then living that love out to the marginalized, those on the peripheries of society, those who have been rejected and moved from the center of society, and how to radically love them. And I do talk in those videos, and that is a video. And sometimes on X, I'll just write out some posts, but there's videos on Instagram as well that you can see us and talk about living out love from the cross. And again, that's Unfolding Love with tagline at Cruciform Love. But today, here on this podcast, we're talking about suffering as we live out social justice. Now, where I am getting my content today is from the Bible. In the New Testament of the Bible, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read it to you and then break it down to you. But in the first four verses of Romans 5, I want to share with you the value of suffering both now and eternally. I've been in my personal time just going again through the letter of St. Paul to the church in Rome, known as Romans. And it's been a while since I've been there, so I thought it's time for me to sit down for a while and really work through this. In fact, when I read the scriptures, I'm not trying to read the Bible in a year. I had previously spent time going from Genesis to 2 Kings, just kind of breaking down a little bit of historical notes and some things about the nation of Israel, but and creation, all those things that are involved in those books of the Bible. But I was like, you know, it's been a while since I did Romans. And I take my time and really dissect and go through and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me as I read through these. So in Romans 5, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through which we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character produces hope." And so with that as the baseline today, I want to work through this scripture with you and regain our love, or regain our respect for suffering and how suffering works in the Christian life. some of our modern denominations and some of our modern Catholics have downplayed or outright ignored the theology of suffering. But suffering is a very real part of the Christian life. I mean, after all, we follow a Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered and suffered the ultimate suffering on the cross. And we are called to that same thing as Jesus says to the disciples, if anyone wishes to be my disciple, they must do what? Pick up their cross. And so we got to get back to this theology of suffering and how it works out even in the realm of social justice. Note here in the scripture how St. Paul does not separate grace from suffering. He doesn't separate the two. It's not like you have grace on one hand and suffering on the other. He says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. And notice the word and. It's not on the other hand, but, or, he doesn't use those words, he uses the word and. So we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. Not only that, but we glory or rejoice in our sufferings. I am reading out of the NIV because I use the, in my personal studies and in my study for the podcast, I use the second edition of the New American Standard Bible, Catholic edition, second edition of that as well. But I was rushing out the door this morning, forgot to grab that off my the Bible off my desk. So I Googled the scripture, the NIV's first one, pull off, but I know the how it's translated into the New American Standard Bible, Second Catholic Edition, and St. Paul talks about rejoicing, standing in grace, but also rejoicing in these sufferings. And so grace and suffering are not separated from each other. We get this idea that grace is somehow this benign benevolence from God, from a benign heavenly Father. However, the book of Hebrews describes God as a consuming fire, not a benign grandfather. And in this grace, St. Paul's saying by being called, invited into this suffering, we rejoice because it comes from God's grace. And how can that be? So we'll talk a little bit about that today. Know this, that suffering becomes a normal mode of grace in the apostle's mind. I mean, St. Paul, it was revealed to him right after his conversion how much he would suffer, the scripture says. So for him, suffering becomes the normal mode of grace. Why? Because of what it produces in us. A lot of times we can be tempted to want to experience things from God, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how you enjoy relationship with God, is through your experiences with God. But for St. Paul, it's not so much about what I'm experiencing, but rather what I'm producing, what's being produced in me. And so St. Paul says, grace produces the life of Christ in me, but how does it happen? It happens through suffering. And so we want to get back to and embrace a theology of suffering. Now, let me be clear first. I'm applying this to social justice because that's what this podcast is about and why you are listening. However, in the context, St. Paul is talking about salvation in general. Okay, so I don't want to get that all muddled up for you in your mind. He's talking about salvation in general, but because of the nature of this podcast, I'm applying it specifically to our work of social justice. However, to be a person of justice and charity, you must become a person who endures suffering. If anything, if you go to the dark places of the empire, you will suffer simply by seeing the devastation all around you. I've had so many times where I've stood among those who are suffering, and I just stood there and cried because I had no words to describe what I was seeing. If somebody were to walk up to me at the microphone and say, Michael, explain what you're seeing, I wouldn't be able to. Tears were the only language I had at the moment. Somebody asked me the other day, Michael, you look down today. And they said, why? And I said, because watching the devastation happening to immigrants and refugees right now, and up close and personal, because I do serve them on a daily basis, how can I not feel the suffering in that moment? So when you go to the dark places of the empire, you're going to suffer simply by default of witnessing the devastation all around you. And again, sometimes the language of tears is the only language you can speak at a given moment. The Gospels say that Jesus would weep over the destruction of the humanity all around him. Again, he weeps at Jerusalem's rejection of him. Suffering is normal, is a normal mode in the life of the disciples of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have joy, because Paul says in this very passage, we rejoice in our sufferings. It's just that St. Paul's saying, it's not that suffering brings depression, rather suffering brings the proper joy, because we too often have idols in our lives, and we rejoice in the wrong things. We rejoice in our false gods. And St. Paul says, no, we need to shift to rejoice in the suffering. Why? For suffering's sake? No. But because, as he says, what it produces in us. And St. James, in his letter of James, says the same thing. Now, I want to say this is a step-by-step process, and it's in a certain order. So you have to follow the order of this process of cooperating with God's grace in your suffering to see these things produced. So if you don't complete step one, you can't get to step two, and so on. By the way, St. Paul loves lists in his writings. There are so many times in Paul's letters where he just produces a list. For example, the fruit of the worldly nature in us is envy, strife, fightings, drunkenness, orgies, all that stuff. However, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, you know, long-suffering, those things. Paul loves lists. When I was getting my degree in theology, I couldn't believe this happened to me, but when I was getting my degree in theology, one of my professors had an exam where we had to reproduce from memory all of Paul's lists in the Bible. Fun, not. Man, that was quite the task, but Paul loves his list. Well, here's another list that's in a specific order of progression. The first thing we see here that suffering produces is what? Endurance. It produces endurance. This is so necessary to salvation, obviously, because salvation is a lifelong process. Salvation is the process of God recreating us into the image of Jesus Christ. And as you may have experienced, that takes a lifetime and maybe beyond. But salvation is not an event. Rather, it is a step-by-step process of cooperating with God's grace to crucify the old self and put on the new self. It begins at baptism, when we place our faith in Christ, but it keeps on going until we become perfect. There's nothing instant about salvation. Now, in social justice, if we are truly to create a just world, we must endure patiently, as it takes time. You have to build the world piece by piece, step by step, day by day, and moment by moment. There isn't much fanfare around building a just society. It almost always done in the ordinary moments. Now, right now in the church's liturgical calendar, we're in the very long season, the 34-week season of ordinary time, which is my favorite. I really enjoy the Lent and Christmas time, the Advent and Christmas time, the Lent and Easter time. But my favorite time is ordinary time because it gives me a chance to slow down. Advent and Lent are very fast-moving seasons. Although they're meant to slow you down, there's so many events going on, it can feel a bit much. Although I love all of the reenactments and all of the scriptures and reminders, but my favorite time is ordinary time because I really am forced into that moment-by-moment process and cooperation with God through the ordinary time. And real social justice, the real building of a just society, is done in the ordinary moments and in the very small ways. And you know, there are 100 little ways each day where we can live justly towards others in an ordinary moment. So let's say that you come across someone who doesn't have shoes for their child, and your child has multiple pairs of shoes. Well, give one of those pairs of shoes to that parent. In other words, listen to John the Baptist, who says, if you've got two coats and your neighbor has none, give one to your neighbor. Little, it may seem insignificant, but it's not in God's eyes. I think one way that we've gone wrong in social justice is in being in too much of a hurry to solve the problem, being flashy, creating false deadlines, and accomplishing justice in an unjust situation. But for there to be long-term success in building a just society, it's going to take time and effort and a lot of prayer and thought. There's going to be many moments of failure and disappointment, but endurance is called for in this. So if you're going to become a true, what I would say, quote, social justice warrior, you're going to need to enter into suffering and to allow God to produce endurance over the long haul in you through that. Now, St. Paul says that then endurance produces the next step or the next fruit in you, which is character, produces character. Notice here that it isn't suffering that creates character. Rather, it is endurance that creates character. So, suffering produces the endurance. The endurance then in turn produces the character. It's kind of like a intangible way of, you know, how we invest in others and then they in turn invest in others. It's kind of that process that's going on in us. Have you ever gone through a really rough and dark time in your life, endured it in a holy way, and noticed how you grew more mature through it? Well, suffering through endurance produced that character in you. May God give us true social justice warriors who are strong, deep, wise, and holy. And the only way that can happen is as people cooperate with the grace of God and pick up their crosses and stop avoiding them. Now, at this point, I need to say this. It takes time for you to get to the point of being ready to do what God has made you to do. I mean, when we hear God's voice and we're like, oh, I'm definitely being called this thing, let's get going on it. No, it takes time for you to get to the point of being ready to do what God's made you to do. It's been amazing as I've talked to different priests who have told me that from the moment they heard God's call to become a priest, it was years before they actually became a priest and were ordained. Why? Because God had to take time to mold them, to shape them, to grow them and prepare them with the tools internally that they needed to successfully be a priest. So it takes time. So if God's called you to serve the homeless or to serve those caught up in sex trafficking or whatever the injustice may be, God is going to take time. He's going to call you first. And if you obey that calling, then he'll send you through the dark valley. Don't mean to burst your bubble or discourage you. I'm just saying that's what God does. God has to shape you. He has to build you and prepare you to accomplish what he's called you to do. You know, you look at King David. in the Old Testament, it took many years of preparation before he became king. He was hidden in the shadows for many years after hearing the call to be king. So, and Jesus himself was hidden from sight as he prepared for his ministry. Same goes for St. Paul, who for several years was on the backside of the desert, being prepared after his conversion. So God has a way of calling you. And once you obey the call, God hides you on the backside of the desert or in the deep valley. And what he's doing is he's molding you, shaping you, and equipping you for that day when finally you get the green light to begin doing the work. Now, if you are young, if you're listening and you're young, don't be in a hurry to just get it done. You know, like Nike says, just do it. Well, that's not exactly how it necessarily works. I mean, even you see in John the Baptist, we only hear about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Messiah after years of him being out in the desert. Submit to God. So if you're young, don't be in a hurry to get it done. Rather, submit to God as he hides you in the background for a while. He's building your character. He is preparing you by teaching you and giving you the tools to do the job. The day will come when you are ready and God opens the door. There's so many things I wanted to do in a hurry when I was young, but now I see the wisdom in God making me wait. So we've got suffering producing endurance, endurance producing character, and then St. Paul says character produces hope. Now, how does character produce hope? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Paul says that hope does not disappoint since God's love has been poured into our hearts. So as we grow in spiritual maturity, we experience the love of God more and more. From God's love, we experience hope. Now, hope is not that wishful thinking in your head, well, I hope this works out, or I hope, and then you fill in the blanks of all the imaginations of your mind. No, rather, through the process of learning endurance, through the process of the character being built in you, God reveals to you more and more what is waiting ahead for you. And so hope then develops in you, a hope that says, not wishful thinking, but rather, I know that this is going to work out for God's glory. I know this is going to work out for my salvation. I know that God is going to use me for his glory in this situation. So if you didn't go through this period of suffering and building of endurance and character, then you may be tempted when things get tough to give up. But rather, going through the period of suffering, producing endurance, endurance character, then that hope develops in you when things get tough to say, I'm not giving up because I know, based upon past experience, that God is going to see me through. And therefore, when my work in social justice gets boring, or when it gets hard, or when it feels like everything's against me, I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to move. I'm going to endure. And I'm going to endure with character of humility and holiness, because I know through hope that God is going to bring about good in this. Now, one day I had a group of people with me on the streets serving the homeless here in Portland. And some in the group were experiencing anxiety while about being in the homeless encampments, and others experienced shock at what they saw and experienced, and still others experienced deep sadness at what they were witnessing. One of them asked me, Michael, how can you be so calm in the midst of all this? It feels like you don't care. I responded, because I can see wider and deeper. God is healing them through us, and God is healing us through them. It just takes time. You see, a lot of people want to jump into social justice and they're filled with excitement or they're filled with gusto and let's do this. Where the true person of justice is a person who's been through the fire, who's been purified, who goes into these situations like Mother Teresa with the people she served, and they do it with joy, but they also do it with a calm joy of, I'm not going to get upset about what I'm seeing. I'm not going to allow my emotions to be excited here. I'm simply here in faithfulness to God's call. Through my decades of serving, I had come to learn many things, including the fact that it isn't all about the work of social justice itself. Rather, it is about God growing me spiritually. Through the work, God is growing us in endurance, faithfulness, love, holiness, humility, trust, and so on. So, as hopefully you can see now, the work of social justice is not about me solving a problem and me serving another. It's about what God is doing in me through others. In fact, when people would go out on the streets with me, I always remind them, don't go out there as a teacher to the student. Rather, be the student and allow the homeless to be your teacher. And people who have followed through on that have been shocked at the growth they've experienced in their life through that. Paul then ends this passage talking about the love of God being poured into our hearts. The more you go through suffering, the more you produce that it produces endurance in you, endurance producing character, character hope. The more you stay faithful to this process that God's doing into you, you're going to experience the infinite love of God being not just trickled into you, but as St. Paul says, poured into you so that you can then give that love away to others. One of my favorite movies is The Shawshank Redemption. I love how the character that Tim Robbins plays is so slow, calm, and meticulous in breaking out of prison. In one scene, he and Morgan Freeman, who plays Red in the movie, are sitting alone in the prison yard talking and dreaming of what could be. Robbins has a definite plan in mind. He is just patiently waiting to execute it. When we work for justice and true charity, it is a slow and quiet process. In the work of social justice, God is not just using you to create a just world. God is also building you. Please hear this. You cannot truly do the work of justice without being a person of justice, and it takes time for you to become that person. The Bible doesn't say that God does justice, but that God is the God of justice. It is His character to be just and charitable and merciful. You can't become that person without going through the process outlined by St. Paul in today's scripture. May God give you the grace to submit to the process as you become a person of justice right where you are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.